right, so 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read what Peter writes here in these few verses. All right, verse 12, Peter writes, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." Well, Lord, we need reminders, and we understand that. I pray, Father, that we would humble ourselves before you, knowing that we need reminders of the basics of our Christian faith. Lord, that we need to be reminded of the character that we ought to be displaying day in and day out. Lord, regardless, and perhaps because of, Lord, the testings of difficulties and hard moments, Lord, that we do not negate to reflect a character that is befitting of a follower of Christ. Lord, that we would rely upon you and your strength, your spirit, not our own strength, not our own intellect, and definitely not in response to our circumstances, but Lord, in spite of them. Lord, just as Peter did. Lord, Peter even said in these few verses, Lord, that his death was imminent. The end of his life on earth was about to come to an end. And yet he had a sense of urgency. He persevered and he was steadfast in being faithful unto you. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, your faithfulness, that we may persevere in spite of difficulties in our own lives. And so, Lord, we look to you. We ask that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thinking about, because it's all about remembering this morning. Remind, remember, recall is what we have. And I was thinking about the times that my siblings and I, you know, we gather together and we can recall all kinds of things, remembering and reminiscing about the things that we experienced in our days growing up. Over the course of a couple decades, man, we could sit down and talk for hours about these stories. And they never grow old. We laugh about the same things, and we just go over them. And it's a delight to do that with my siblings, my younger sister and my younger brother. Personally and in general, I find myself a bit of a nostalgic as it pertains to the 70s and 80s. And so having grown up in the 70s and 80s, I think about those times, times before cell phones and even a time before the microwave. How could anyone live without the microwave, right? When you could go out and literally, so I grew up across the street from Terrace Hills Middle School here in Grand Terrace. And for us, that was our playground. And for the neighbors, for the kids, you know, we would go over there, we'd ride bikes, and there's a parking lot down below, and there were fields where there are not now buildings. And so we would go over there and play. And one of the things that perhaps you'll remember during those times, the 70s and 80s, perhaps the 90s, I don't know, is that the time to come home was when? Streetlights come on, yeah, right? That was awesome. We'd be out there, or you'd hear your name just like screamed out, right? So it's like, oh man, did I forget? Yeah, I have to go home. But those were times that we remember. We don't remember them all the time, but when someone starts to bring them up, you start to, oh yeah, that's right. We did do that. And it just brings us to a moment of recollection. bringing us back. Doesn't it bring you back to that moment? There are certain songs that do that too. You know, you start singing a song, you hear it in the grocery store, and it brings you right back to like sometimes a moment. It's like, I remember that, like I was here in this place. You've heard it multiple times, but oftentimes it's that one place, you know. It just, being reminded makes you remember and recollect those things. It is interesting how we forget about things, though, until someone does remind us and we remember and we're able to recollect the details of that specific event, that specific period, that time that we lived. And it's one thing to be reminded about random things that we experienced in the past. But here, as we read, Peter's purpose for writing this letter was not a series of random reminders of past experience to reminisce about the days of old, but rather a purposeful, specific act that he took upon himself, compelled by the Lord to remind his brothers and sisters of things that he knew the Lord wanted to have ingrained in the hearts and minds of his brethren. Remember that Peter's main goal for writing this letter is to strengthen the believers to stand firm in their faith and to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Peter wanted the believers to remember his teachings every time that they read the letter. Remember, it's implied that this letter was not to be just read just one time, but frequently. Peter wanted them to remember his warnings regarding false prophets. Don't ever forget that. Lastly, Peter wanted to remind the believers that Jesus will return and his coming is soon. As we see the events of our world around us, things are shaping up. You might think, well, why? How can you say they're shaping up? They're falling apart. No, no, no. They're falling right into place. This is exactly what the Lord told us the world would look like in these days. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Keep your eyes fixed upon the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who is faithful, trustworthy, praiseworthy. Keep your eyes on him. Don't be shaken. Don't do it. Don't allow yourself to do that. Be filled with worry and anxiety and concern to such a degree that it overwhelms your everyday life. No, no, no. Keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord, for he will bring us safely home. He will do that. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready for him? Now we're taking a moment to focus on the section of Peter's letter that has to do with the reason why he is compelled by God to remind the church about their eternal kingdom, our eternal kingdom that awaits us, and the basics of our faith. The basics, going back to the fundamentals. From this pulpit, you'll hear that a lot. The basics of our faith. We're going to be reminded of them often. Why? Because that's what we have in Scripture over and over again. We can dive deep into the things of God, but we need to get the basics set in our lives. We need to have them firmly fixed that we may live them out day in and day out. And so this is what we have before us. He wanted to have them understand the reason why he was compelled by God to remind them of their eternal kingdom and the basics of their faith. In fact, Peter had just told him, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. And Peter has pointed out the qualities that they are to possess and are to be increasing, that the very things that they give themselves to will keep them from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. These qualities are the following, and just as a reminder, the exercising of faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Just as a reminder, did you forget? See, you forgot. We need constant reminders about these things. And those who lack, in fact, this is what Peter pointed out. Those who lack in exercising these qualities are considered to be nearsighted and even blind. Even blind. Why? They are nearsighted and perhaps even blind, having forgotten the salvation that they have come to know in Christ. Because our everyday lives should be in response in gratitude and thankfulness for the salvation that we have come to know in Jesus Christ. We're so nearsighted. We're forgetful. We're blind. If we're not displaying those things on a daily basis, again, in spite of the difficulties, of the trials, the tribulations, and the testings that we are facing on a daily basis. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins is how Peter puts it. This is the person who's nearsighted and even blind. It is by the exercising of these godly qualities that there will be no question as to your calling and election in Christ. Your salvation and your entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's called us all to repentance. We are his because of our faith in Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in him, not by works lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Desires that no one perish, but that everyone reach repentance. Reminded, you know, in the story of Jonah. Story of Jonah is one that we can be inclined to focus on Jonah, the weeping prophet. You know, that's Jeremiah. No, the reluctant prophet, right? He was crying, but he was crying because he was upset that the Ninevites had been mercifully been given a pass by God's mercy. What we ought to remember is this. The Ninevites were a part of what is known to be the Assyrians. They were a ruthless, brutal bunch of people. And think about this. God desires that no one perish, but that everyone reach repentance, even the Assyrians. May we never forget God's desire to save even the lowest of lowest people. Don't ever draw your hand back from sharing the gospel to anyone and everyone. In fact, Pastor Chuck and Kay, and this was upon Kay Smith's stirring in Pastor Chuck, she wanted to welcome all the hippies. The hippies in that day, correct me if I'm wrong, were the scum of the earth, were they not? They were considered that, right? And what happened when they saw the love of Christ? They flooded that church because they were received. In fact, there was a point to where someone was complaining that they were getting the carpet dirty because, you know, they came in barefooted and they were dirtying the carpet. Pastor Chuck said, rip it out. Rip it out. Don't ever forget what awaits you. And don't ever forget what you have been delivered from, that you may share that salvation is offered to all. And then walk in that gratitude. So it's not our works that earns us a place in heaven. But we also do know this, that it is rather our works that show that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in us. And our works show that our faith is genuine. Genuine. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So remember your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, always. Remember your entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it is before you. This is what Peter points to as the reason why he is compelled to remind them. Verse 12 again, Peter says, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." So he gave his intention. He stated it clearly. Because of the coming kingdom that as believers we are promised in Christ is ours, Peter knows that it is both helpful and necessary to remind the believers of the basic foundational elements of their faith in Christ. One of the things that'll keep us from growing in the Lord is our pride. It'll keep us from receiving those reminders. Does history not show us that we are prone to forget things? History does. The Apostle Paul reminded the believers in Corinth of the things that had happened to the Jews in times past so that they would not repeat the same things that the Jews gave themselves to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Verse 1, he says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, you and I, we enjoy a common salvation. We know the forgiveness of our sins, and so therefore we can talk about our common faith. But take heed, lest you too fall into the same sin and compromise that the Israelites fell into in that day. The Apostle Paul is reminding them. In verse 6, he continues, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." We've gone over this. Remember? So we need to be reminded and have understanding. Why did Paul take them back to this time? And the reason is because he wanted to point out that these are things that God wants them to remember always. And Paul is reminding them of are so that they would not repeat the same mistakes over and over again. We're prone to do that. Doing the same things and dealing with the same consequences. That's why, you know, I would remember some of the things now. You know, I think back, man, I should have listened. You know, when my mom would tell me certain things, you know, "Don't do that." Like, why not? Oh, that's why. Oh, okay. Paul reminds them that pride and arrogance lead to stumbling and eventually falling in their own destruction. And he reminds them that with every temptation, God gives a way of escape. Always remember that. With every temptation, he gives you a way of escape. Look for that little escape hatch. He always gives it to you. Peter says that he intends to always remind his brethren of these qualities that should be present in those professing to be believers. That is, if we allow ourselves to be held accountable. Now, Peter was very kind in the way he put this, saying that he will always remind them, although they already knew them and were established in them. They'd already been strengthened in these things. They already knew about these things. And I tell you, you already know these things. You do. And I hope that you've been established in these things. In other words, you've been strengthened in them. But this is the way he laid it out. Perhaps at one point, he thought he himself had it all figured out. That he knew the basics of the faith. I got it all down. I got it all figured out. I got it. But then, a little testing came and he realized that he was not truly in the place he thought he was. Peter was not going to assume that they also had it all figured out. And he absolutely was not going to neglect to remind them of these things. In case you think that someone who is constantly reminding others is personality specific. In other words, yeah, you know what? He has that gift. You know, yeah, like all moms have the gift, by the way. If you were to ask the kids, you know, does your mom remind you of things? Yeah, all the time. Like over and over again, these things. And do you get tired of it? Yeah, I get tired of it. You know, I don't need reminders all the time. Well, it's interesting because those things that she told you to do, you haven't done them. So obviously you need a reminder, right? It's not personality specific. I want to point out that God used the following phrase with the Israelites dozens of times throughout Scripture. And that's this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Dozens of times. If God said that to his people dozens of times in Scripture, surely he knows that we are forgetful and need reminders. It's not personality specific. It has to be believer specific. We ought to be reminding each other of these things often. Biblical scholars estimate that Exodus is explicitly and implicitly referenced well over 100 times in Scripture. They needed reminders. Why does God repeat this phrase so much, and why does he point to this event so often? First of all, it reminds Israel of who they are. They are a redeemed people. Second, it establishes why they must obey. Third, it reminds them that God keeps his promises. He is faithful. Fourth, it reminds them that they tend to forget, and their tendency is to rebel against God. You see, what reminders are is like a ship that is going in the wrong direction, and God, through his reminders, drops down the anchor. Let's slow down a bit. Let's change course. You're going to drag it a bit. You're going to drag it. It's heavy, isn't it? But through this reminder, I'm going to bring you back onto course. By way of reminder, to help his people remember, obey, and trust in him once again. Sometimes we need those anchors to be dropped. Here's some reminders. In Luke chapter 21, verse 31, this is the moment when Jesus told Peter that Satan will be sifting him. And Jesus said in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, but that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." So Peter again thought that he had it down, basics of the faith. And good. I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I am devoted, committed, and listen, Peter, you're going to deny me. That the rooster will crow, and that'll be a reminder to you of these words. But he told him this: "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." He stumbled, but he didn't completely fail because he didn't draw back from the Lord. "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Strengthen. It is, by the way, the same word that is used here. "Though you know them and are established or strengthened in the truth that you have." It's the same word. In other words, Peter is now fulfilling the very thing that Jesus prayed for him to do. "Once you turn back to me, go and strengthen your brothers." That's what he was doing by way of reminder. He strengthened his brothers as he himself repented, turned again to the Lord. He remembered what Jesus told him on that day. He was doing it in the present day. And this is why he intended to continually remind them of these qualities unapologetically. We have to remind each other of these things unapologetically. I don't apologize for reminding you of the basics of our faith over and over again. But Pastor, we've heard these things. I know you're going to hear them again. Until we all do them perfectly. Listen, the basics of our faith should always be received well. Fundamentals. A good coach will always bring the team back to the fundamentals. Always. Remind each other unapologetically of the qualities that we should reflect as Christians. Be humble with each other. As we exhort, as we admonish, as we stir each other up and we serve each other in that way. Verse 13, Peter continues and he says, "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me." So the Lord had told him that he would suffer death. One that was, it would be not something that we would welcome, something that we would desire, but he knew that he was going to come to his death soon. And Peter said he thought it right to remind them, and he was right in his thinking about these things. They were right, they were godly, they were biblical. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the writer says this: "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It goes, and it is very consistent with Scripture. The word "remember," in fact, appears in the Bible well over 250 times. Remember. Peter said that as long as he was in the body, that is his tent. That's how it's described, his tent. At some point, he was going to pull up the stakes, and he was going to enter into glory. But as long as he was in that tent, he would stir them up by way of reminder. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul has this to write. Verse 21, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Perhaps something to note there is that this is the very thing that Peter was saying in his second letter. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." Is there not a sense of urgency in this man, in his writing? There's a sense of urgency in Paul's message. He knows that his life is given to the furthering of the gospel in the hearts and minds of his brethren, that they may be established, that is strengthened in these things to the glory of our Lord and Savior. Paul exhorts Timothy, in fact, to engage in the stirring up of his brethren, stirring Timothy to stir. This is Paul's last letter. And he writes it from prison. 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. "These are the words that Paul had for Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So therefore, Timothy, go ahead and quit and go back to your home." No, he doesn't say that. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And then he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Listen, he's telling him, "I'm being poured out as an offering unto the Lord. Live your life in such a way that it is being poured out as an offering to the Lord. Persevere. Do these things. Give yourself to the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts and minds of the brethren. And do the work of an evangelist, that is, go out and share the gospel that more people would come to salvation. If you knew that you only had a short time to live, what would you do? Would anything change in your life, given what you now know? Listen, this is not just because it is the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter That doesn't mean that their lives are different than a regular person. I'm not an apostle. There are messengers of God's word, little A's, that's all. But there are no apostles today. That is capital A. Do you think it's their commission was any different than yours? That is, in going out and bringing the gospel to a lost and dying world to make disciples and evangelize? It's not. If you knew that you only had a short time to live, you only have 5 days, what will you do in the next 5 days? What if you did die? And this happened. You died, and the Lord, by his grace, gave you a glimpse of heaven, and then you came back. I would be really upset, but... But what if he did do that? I remind you that Paul actually did experience that. We ought to pay attention to how that moved him. And by the way, he did not come back to write books on his experience and to sell them. He didn't do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Imagine that. He was given a glimpse of heaven. This is where you're going to come to. How he responded to that, we should take note of. This unique experience caused him to boast in his weaknesses so that the power of Christ would be seen more clearly in his weaknesses. Peter knew this all too well. Peter, knowing the end of his life was coming soon, gave himself to reminding his brothers of these things that were important to remember and keep. That is, to observe, to live out. In verse 15, Peter says, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Once again, Peter refers to his death, after my departure. Psalm 1, 1 and 2 says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 119, 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:105, your word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so we have these things before us, reminding us of the importance of and the value of remembering scripture, committing them to memory, storing those words in our hearts that we may not sin against the Lord, that we may be able to, at any point, recall these things, that they may serve us in that moment to lead us into all truth. The recalling that Peter desired was not about him. but rather about Jesus and what pleases him in obedience to God's word. Peter was relentless in his reminders of these godly qualities. That these qualities should be present in the believers, and God saw it fit to include this letter that the church today would be reminded as well. It's his very breath. It's his God's desire. So therefore, I remind you of these things that were extremely important for Peter at the end of his life to remind his brothers about. Verse 3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. May you never grow tired of being reminded of your salvation and the qualities that should be present in the believer. C.H. Spurgeon said this, quote, "Not that our salvation should be the effect of our work, but our work should be the evidence of our salvation." Do you know that you will enter into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And if you do, then your very life should reflect a character that is fitting of the character of God, whom we call Savior, we call Lord. He is the one we look to. I want to ask you also, I'm not going to assume that all of you are saved. You may have been coming for some time. Remember, I talked about the Ninevites. God truly desires that no one perish, but that all reach repentance. There's nothing that you can do that would keep you separated from the Lord. What you've done in your past, it doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to forgive you. That is what was the full payment for our sins in full, past, present, and future. If you have never surrendered your life to Christ, God's word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It's a promise. Then I ask you, I implore you, I plead with you. Please don't be stubborn. Why wait? Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. May today be the day of salvation. Will you at this moment surrender your life to Christ and know not only a new hope and a new life in Christ, but you will know the hope of heaven, the forgiveness of your sins? Don't wait till tomorrow. If you've never given your life to Christ, I implore you to do it at this very moment. At this very moment. Father, I thank you. By way of reminder, in your word, you have stated very clearly what is to be reflected in those who profess to have a salvific faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we would reflect that. Not because we have to. Not because, okay, now it says it in Scripture. Okay, I'll do it. Lord, but because we want to. It's just a response to in gratitude to the salvation that we've come to know. The forgiveness of our sins. Lord, the assurance of heaven. And I do ask, Lord, that if there is anyone here who has never surrendered their lives to you, or perhaps they need to recommit their lives to you. They've walked away, they've turned their backs on you, Lord, that they at this moment need to repent. Lord, may this be the moment that they confess those sins and repent and come to you, Lord, whether in salvation or recommitment, Lord. May today be that day of response. And so with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, please, everyone, eyes closed and heads bowed. For anyone who needs to recommit their lives in any way, please just lift up your hand. It's just in response to the Holy Spirit moving in you. You need to recommit your life to the Lord. You've been walking in compromise. And anyone who has never surrendered their lives to Christ, if you're here and have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and at this moment want to be assured of heaven, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then lift up your hand and surrender your life to Christ. Father, I praise you and I thank you. And my hope is that each and every one of my brothers and sisters are walking uprightly before you. That there is no one here who does not know salvation in Christ. And Lord, that we are walking confidently with you. Humbly, Lord, but confidently in you. Awaiting your glory. So we thank you for this time. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. That last song, this is what we're going to What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Oh, there's more. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised, overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.